Over the weekend, South Korea's President No Moo-hyun called for the repeal of a decades-old national security law. The law, passed in 1948, can jail people who work for enemies of the state, notably North Korea, and their sympathizers. President No is trying to improve relations with the North and perhaps get a summit meeting with its leader, Kim Jong-il. He is a notoriously erratic man, variously labeled as secretive and insane. It turns out he's also a movie producer, one whose methods are unusual. Film historian Mark Jordan Ligon explains.
Like any group of serious movie buffs, my friends and I love to get together and watch the classics. I'm not talking about Truffaut or Billy Wilder. I'm talking about classically bad movies, legendary ones that are so awful, so inept, they're just as hilarious to watch as they are difficult to find. Not long ago, I discovered a copy of a surreal North Korean Godzilla ripoff called Pulgasari. The story is almost too strange to describe here. It's based on a 14th century legend of a monster who grows huge by eating iron, helps the peasants overthrow their tyrannical king, and then turns on the peasants themselves. But it's the story of how Kim got this movie made that should be nominated for an Academy Award.
And the Oscar for Most Dictatorial Producer goes to Kim Jong-il. Sorry, Harvey.
Kim is well known as a huge movie buff himself. He reportedly has 15,000 films in his private collection. But in 1978, when he was still just a son of a dictator, Kim added two prize jewels to that collection. His agents lured one of South Korea's most popular actresses, Choi Eun-hee, to Hong Kong, where they promptly kidnapped her. When her husband, acclaimed South Korean director Shin Sang-ok, went to search for her, Kim's agents kidnapped him too. The use of a chloroform bag seemed appropriate, since Kim Jong-il is said to be especially fond of James Bond movies. In fact, showing the taste of an angry teenage boy, Kim also reportedly watches Rambo and Friday the 13th over and over. In a recent memoir, Shin, the director, told how he immediately tried to escape after his kidnapping and was imprisoned for 4 years while his wife was forced to go to re-education classes. Then one day, he and his wife were brought in to meet with Kim again. In a conversation the actress managed to record secretly, Kim tried to put the terrified couple at ease, explaining that they would both be given a life of luxury as they made good films for North Korea. Both Shin and his wife decided the only way to ever get away was to play ball, smile, nod, agree, and make the damn movies. Shin made a number of films while in North Korea, but Pulgasari has to be the strangest. As the monster Pulgasari goes around crushing people under his large rubbery foot, you have to laugh. As a Marxist allegory for the voracious appetite of capitalism, you have to yawn. Yet the battle scenes do have one strong point. Kim put North Korean soldiers at the director's disposal. All those extras and not a penny of overtime. I bet the makers of King Arthur are jealous. But in 1986, before Pulgasari was completely finished, Shin and his wife convinced Kim to let them attend a film festival in Vienna. They said they could promote North Korean film to the rest of the world. While there, the couple managed to shake their guards during a tense taxicab chase and dash into the American embassy, where they begged for asylum. Kim refused to believe they escaped by their own choice, convinced they had been brainwashed by his enemies. North of the DMZ, Kim Jong-il forced another director to finish Pulgasari, but then refused to release it outside the country. After living in America for a time, Shin, the original director, is now back in South Korea. A few years ago, an enthusiastic Japanese critic managed to lobby for the movie's release. It did pretty well in Tokyo, but bombed when screened in South Korea. Still, Pulgasari has developed a cult following among fans of big, goofy monster movies. And as more people hear of the kidnapping backstory, its cult status only grows. Of course, it doesn't hurt that the film's producer, Kim Jong-il, turns out to be a bigger monster than the guy in the rubber suit.
Mark Jordan Ligon is a writer and film buff based in Los Angeles.